Hello and welcome to another episode of Staying in the Black. I'm Miss Black, your host, and today's episode is a book review of Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. So I, about a year ago, had a conversation with a colleague where I said to them that I wanted to improve my networking skills. I seem to know or a lot of people and am able to like connect them. So I meet someone, they do something, and then I meet someone else who's interested in that. And I seem to have the ability to say, oh, you're interested in that. You know, such and such does that. You two should meet. And I can put them in contact with each other. And it seems to have been successful. But I didn't feel like I had networked to the level that I could call on to someone who wasn't a true, who I would consider a friend or someone that I had gone to, you know, high school or college with, and be really successful in making it happen. And so I was like, I really need to improve on that. So someone had recommended to me, and I had seen several book lists of like books to read, the book Never Eat Alone. So I said, okay, it was over the break, let me read this book. One thing that I was surprised with the book, and I think this is the first time that I've truly experienced this with a business book, is that it was a difficult book for me to read. So it took me 4 tries to complete the book. The first time I read the book, I couldn't get through the introduction. The second time, I got to maybe the 3rd chapter. The third time that I read the book, or actually the third time, I decided to listen to the book. And I listened to the audio and got maybe halfway through the book. And then finally, the 4th time, I was able to finish the complete book. All through trying to complete this book, I was asking myself questions, because as an educator, we often encounter students who don't want to read a book that we may have chosen for the class to read for various reasons. I'm also a reading specialist, so I also think about like, where's the engagement? What's happening with this book? Is it too tough for them to read? Well, I have 3 degrees, so I don't think that the comprehension wasn't, I know that the comprehension wasn't an issue, but this book did not, I couldn't connect with it. I don't know the author. He worked for Deloitte. He was in business and finance or marketing. But the things that he was talking about did not resonate with me. I found myself often saying, like, yeah, that'll work for a white man. I don't know if that's going to work for a Black girl from Brooklyn. And I really had to push through and say, what is in this book that I can connect with? So I say all of that to forewarn you as to kind of my experience just engaging with the book. Overall, it was insightful, and I learned something. So he talks about something that I started this year talking about and is really important. I think in whatever endeavor you engage in, you have to have the right mindset. You have to go into this networking arena, not with what can I get out of it, but what can I pour into it? What can I get into it? And not keeping score. So like, oh, I did this for you, so you did that for me, is really important with the mind frame. So it's not in an exchange. It's really like, what do I have to offer you that can be helpful to you? And as you give, you will receive in return. You have to crystallize your mission and your strategy. Like, what are you trying to get out? Well, like, what do you need? Not even so much what you're trying to get out of it, but really, what do you need as a person? Who are you and what's the ultimate goal? So it goes back to when you're crystallizing your mission and strategy, really to speaking to like, what's your brand? What do you want to achieve? Who, like, what do you want to do? What is your North Star, as I often say? And then crafting a plan, and then also having like your own board of advisors. It's kind of like with your financial plan, you need to have, with your financial planning or your financial team, you need to have a like an accountant, an attorney, that sort of thing. The same you need to have with your, when you're crystallizing your strategy, you need to create your board of advisors who will help guide you. If it's as a teacher, if it's, I want to go on to be a lead teacher, I want to become an assistant principal, I want to start a side hustle, I want to, whatever it is, just be really clear on that goal and then create your board of directors who help, or board of advisors who help guide you in the process. And then you have to build the relationships before you need the relationships. So that is meeting people, saying hello. And when you're meeting and saying hello and giving, it's not I'm giving because I want to get this, or I'm meeting and saying hello to you because I think you're going to give me that. It's, hey, I'm in a room with you. I don't know you. Hi, how are you? What do you do? Just in your mental world, because you never know when it comes back to you. And the one that I think I probably struggle with the most, and a lot of people struggle with, is the courage to ask. As I said, when I initially started this episode, that I didn't have a problem connecting people. So saying, hey, you know, you're doing this and you're doing that, I think you guys should get together, and making the connection. But having the courage to ask someone to do something for me, I still struggle with that. And what I mean also, when you talk about build it before you need it, I'm really fortunate to have groups of girlfriends who do phenomenal things that I've known for, at this point, 20 plus years. But even within my circle, and we hang out together a lot, some of my friends don't know what each other do. So prime example is, I had a friend who was a speech and language therapist. So she's not someone that I work with, you know, every day in at my job, but she's a friend and she lives in a different state. Then another one of my friends had a daughter who they were concerned about their speech. So I said to the friend who was concerned about her daughter's, you know, her expressive language, I said, oh, you know, talk to this other friend, because she's a speech and language pathologist. And my friend was like, no, she's not. And I was like, yes, she is. Like, that's what she does. And she's like, are you serious? Now, we've been friends for over 15 years. Had no idea that, you know, you're having this problem. So I was able to put them in connection with each other, and it all worked out in the end. But knowing, and we're friends because we're friends, not because of what we do. And we talk to each other, you know. So kind of knowing the people that you know, what they do, whether it be their full-time jobs or their side hustles and passions. Most people meet with me, they definitely know that I'm an educator and that I've been a principal, but they don't know that I podcast. And once we start having those conversations, they were like, oh, you do that? I know somebody who can help you over here. So really building those relationships before you need them, and then having the courage. So I'm going to work on my courage to ask for something for me, but putting people together honestly helps build the relationships. So the next part in the book is to develop the required skills. So if you take the first framework, which is getting your mindset together, then that there's the whole framework of that, which is don't keep score, crystallize your mission and strategy, build it before you need it, have the courage to ask. Then the next framework he gives you is to develop the required skills. So there are things that you want to do that may not fit in your current job description as an educator, whether it's specializing in some field or getting another license or creating your own position at your school, something that you think will be really vital and helpful to students, you have to develop the required skills. So do your homework. Figure out what do you need to be able to do that. Approach new contacts. That goes to being in the room with people and finding out who they are, what they do. If they know someone that does what you're interested in, that you can talk to them. Be visible. So depending on what you want to do, you may have to thereby go to that organization or clubs that are tied to that organization so that you can be in that space and then follow up. When someone offers you an opportunity to do something, follow up. Thank you. When can we meet for coffee? When can I visit you or observe in your classroom or observe what you do? Just, you have to follow up. And that's something I say I'm guilty of. Like, I meet someone and it's like, I literally have to send the email while I'm talking, like as soon as I walk away from them, because if I don't, then I start to beat myself. Oh, they probably don't remember meeting me. Is it too long? I'm just going to let it go, when that person could have been helpful. So following up and doing it consistently. Mastering the art of small talk. I know I have a podcast. I know I've led a school and I lead different things, but in my real life, I'm an introvert. So I can go to a room. I don't mind being the person sitting off in the corner. And most people who would meet me would think, are you serious? But it's really true. So mastering the art of small talk. And it doesn't mean that you're talking about what you want to do. It's just sometimes like, hey, how you doing? Most New Yorkers are good at this. It's really interesting, as people always say we're, you know, we may be cold or whatever. New Yorkers will start the conversation, and teachers generally, and we're really good at doing it with kids. Well, hey, how are you? I like your this, or I like your that. What about the weather? All those things, those small talks are really an opportunity to get to know who people truly are outside of what they do professionally. And then the one that I'm going to go deeper into is become a conference commando. As I said, I tend to be more introverted, and being more introverted, going to a conference and, you know, going for the learning, hearing the speakers, taking the notes, but not really going out and meeting other people and finding out why they're there and what they do, is something that's really important at a conference, that this book totally changed my view and the strategy that I will engage in going forward, going to conferences. And then expand your social circle. So meet with other people, get out of your social circle that you're used to, the people that you generally have and you feel most comfortable with. Sometimes you have to feel a little uncomfortable, which can be a challenge, especially as people of color, really saying like, I don't want to be in a situation where I have to explain, you know, as a Black woman, why my hair looks different this time than it did the last time. Why my hair is, you know, curly. Yes. Why my hair was curly yesterday and today it's grown straight. What the braids look like. I just want to go and I want to learn and not. So that's probably another reason that I struggled with this book, because it's easy for a white man to say like, oh, just expand your circle. But as a person of color, there are other things that I encounter when attempting to do that, and other responsibilities that sometimes are heaped on me, because people don't always expect a Black woman to be in that circle, and I don't always want to deal with it. So that's a reality of networking and some things that I have to, you know, possibly change my mindset about, or have a response that says, look, my hair is off. You can't, like, the topic of my hair is we're not going to talk about that. Whatever your thing is, but that was probably something else that I struggled with. And really had to think about, how can I find the third way? How do I make this work for me? And not necessarily reading this book thinking that I can replicate exactly what he is saying. So after that framework, and I'll read the steps again, which is develop the required skills, do your homework, approach new contacts, be visible, follow up consistently, master the art of small talk, become a conference commando, and expand your social circle. And then we have convert connections to compatriots. So you really want to connect with people, not just on a professional level, but through an emotional level. So why you should, you know, talk about health and wealth and children. Why create social arbitrage, meaning like using your a connection that may be higher than you to mention why that person should talk to you. And then pinging people constantly. So just checking in. And one of the examples that he gave in that was kind of sending somebody a happy birthday message or text. He talked a lot about Christmas cards and sending Christmas cards to all of these people, but everybody's sending Christmas cards out at that time. So that doesn't necessarily make that a unique time, but people don't always contact people or small acquaintances on their birthdays. And so, you know, that's a ping that people really appreciate. And this is beyond social media. And then like anchor tenants, just things that kind of people that you want to know, like you kind of all know about. So whether it be an event, and unfortunately things like 9/11 or the election night, Barack Obama, his first inauguration or even second inauguration, just certain things that everyone was there and they kind of remember where they are. You obviously want to choose things that are more positive, but sometimes the stress, right now, COVID is the biggest anchor tenant, no matter who you are, what your socioeconomics, what your title is, you were impacted by COVID and in some cases still impacted. So having those, talking about those things and how people dealt with them matters. And then, so again, connections to compatriots, contacting with people emotionally through health, wealth, or children, utilizing social arbitrage, pinging people constantly, and choosing anchor tenants to talk to people. And then trade up and give back. So offer a interesting or unique point of view. If you don't agree with something and everybody in the circle is like, oh, yeah, but you disagree, don't be afraid to say you disagree. Hey, I disagree with that. And for X, Y, and Z reasons, it gives everybody like, oh, who's that person that has the audacity to disagree with everyone in the group? Or a unique view. So he gives the example in the book of Facebook. And it said like, what, when the Facebook question initially was like, what are you doing? And people used to say, you know, making my bed, taking a bath, going on a walk. Like nobody cares that you're doing that. But he proposed the question, like, what's interesting to you right now? And for you to say, hey, like for me, I just read this book. What's interesting about it is this. Then other people want to hear your opinion and your thought about it. But if you're trying to place yourself, you want to make sure that if you're trying to network with someone about something, you want to try and have those things be about the thing that you're interested in. LinkedIn, he is a good example of where you can do that. But you don't just have to keep to LinkedIn. You can do it on LinkedIn. You can do it on Facebook. You can do it on Twitter. So thinking about it, not so much of like, oh, what am I doing? But what am I interested in right now? Or what's interesting right now? Another thing is building and broadcasting your personal brand. And so this is really interesting. And it goes to the LinkedIn, the Facebook, the Twitter. It goes back to the first tenet of developing the required skills and adopting the right mindset, right? You need to crystallize your mission and strategy. Who are you? What are the things that you care about? And it doesn't mean that that's the only those are the only things that you care about, but you need to be really, really clear on that. And he gives a three-step process for creating your personal brand. Then reaching out to important people and getting close to power. So who do you know that can do that and you want to get closer to them as possible? And then continually finding mentors and mentees. So when it comes to mentors and mentees, it's like, yes, someone who's going to mentor you and help you be better. But when you're talking about mentees, you have some type of expertise in helping those people who are younger than you or new to the career than you is also helpful. And we often think of like this hierarchy just going up and going up to make the connections and hoping that the person who's above us is going to pull up. But that's generally not the way that it happens. And Issa Rae also made this statement, and I thought it was really important. We're always looking to someone higher or bigger than us to do it. But in fact, she says you shouldn't be trying to always move up, but thinking horizontally. Who of your peer group or who in the space that you are in right now could you work with, right? Because they're more likely and they want the experience and you need the experience doing whatever you're doing. So if you connect someone who's like, so if you are a teacher who is interested in becoming an assistant principal, another assistant principal may not, they don't have the ability to pull you up, but your colleague who's also interested may have heard of a alternate cert program and say to you, oh, you know, this is happening, I can help you over here. Or your strength may not be in a certain subject area or a certain part of leadership. An AP or a principal will be able to tell you, oh, you're not doing this well, but it's more likely that a colleague on your level is going to be able to help you gain those skills or tell you where to go to get those skills. So not only thinking about what someone can do for you, but what you can do for them. So in short, I made it through the book. It was a challenge, honestly, to get through the whole book. The two things that were most powerful for me, and when I think about in the context of me doing this, it was the building of your personal brand, like who are you? And I looked at the personal brand and building that the same way that I have for this podcast. I podcast anonymously. So who is Ms. Black? What does she do? Who's her ideal candidate? What matters to her, right? But it also made me think about my personal brand as who I am behind Ms. Black. What does my LinkedIn page look like? What do I truly want to do? How does podcasting fit into what I regularly do? And how do I meet people and engage with people and strengthen the skills that I need to be successful, not only in what I do from 9 to 5, but what I do from 5 to 9? Also, the biggest part was the being a conference commando. So as I alluded to before, I'd rather be quiet, sit in the corner. I go to the conference, I watch it, you know, I listen to the speakers, I take notes, you know, it's break time, I go to the bathroom, and I'm probably sitting right back in the seat that I originally sat in. And he's saying, in the book, he says, people who speak at the conferences generally have books. That's generally why they're speaking at the conference. They have books. Read the book that they wrote. Although I'm an auditory learner, I think of, you know, I like to hear the person speak. But he says, you know, read the book. You're not going there necessarily to hear the person speak. You may go there to meet the person, right? And say, hey, I really enjoyed your book. It impacted me this way. And that may be a keeping, you know, an opportunity to connect with them. But you should also be meeting with your fellow attendees, right? Who are they? What do they do? Why are they here? They may have a skill, a job, or something that is helpful to you to go in the next step, but you won't know if you just stay with yourself. He also said, like, and you don't want to just meet one person and stick with them the entire, you know, the entire conference. You want to meet different people and figure out who they are and what they are doing. And so don't go to a conference, just attend your sessions and that's it. So those are the two things, biggest things that I will take, the recommendations that he put in that way. It was really, again, a challenge. I had to repeat it twice. It was really a challenge to finish this book. Another book that I read that was, I kind of get for girls going into college or graduating from college is that I thought was really helpful because I couldn't connect with him and his experience. He worked at Deloitte. He spoke about hosting dinner parties. He spoke about meeting with hotel concierges and splitting these dinners. And I'm saying, my poor little educator's salary is not going to cover all of that. So there were a lot of times where I was like, I'm not a consultant. I don't work in finance. This doesn't matter. And I was just like, okay, so how can I translate this to my educator's experience? And how do I put some of it in action? Because remember, my word this year is intentional execution. So how do I put some of this into action? He spoke of having spreadsheets and all these things. I was just like, okay, this is too much. I can't do a classroom and never eat alone. This is a lot. But I remembered that I had read a book that I didn't review for the podcast that really broke it down in a way that I felt like I could manage and it could be managed. And somebody commented on the book. And the book is Leading from the Outside, How to Build Your Future by Stacey Abrams. And so I'm a Black woman and she's a Black woman. So her writing the book, and she speaks of the steps that she took to build her network, things that she did, finance. It's very comprehensive. Yes, she's a Democrat. You may not be, but I really felt like her book was, I guess, the cliff notes to this book when it came to networking. It was definitely, you know, more palatable to me. I totally connected with it and just thought of it as, you know, someone who may not have come in with all the things that I assume white men come in with, because Keith Ferrazzi, you know, he grew up, I think, in Iowa or Idaho. I can't remember. But he says, you know, his parents were blue collar workers and they put everything to put him in a private school. But from that private school, he then went to Yale and Hart and all this other stuff. I was totally disconnected. And there were a lot of things that I think I connected with Stacey Abrams on in this topic. So I would say that her book is like the starter guide for networking, and his book is maybe a college level and, you know, of making all of networking and all of the things that you can and do, or how intentional and specific he was or is in his networking process. It's almost a full-time job for him. And I think that was the other thing for Stacey Abrams. Her book was like, while you, in her case, are a lawyer and you're trying to run for a state seat and you want to, you know, you're trying to run for a state seat and possibly, you know, and be a parent and a caretaker for your parents, here's the way that I networked. Whereas this, it just seemed like, although he speaks of the businesses that he owns, it seemed like even within the context of his business, the networking was huge. I don't think that the book needs to be as long as it is. He gives great advice. I would probably start reading it from the second half forward, as he gives like really explicit directions and steps that you can take. I'm happy that I finished it. I'm not even sure what rating I would give it on, you know, out of Amazon's 5-star system, because at the end of the day, he gave great information, great practical information. The storytelling part of it, he's not even really telling a story. He just gives a lot of anecdotes through it, just caused me to disconnect. I think that the book could probably be half the size that it is, and there's a follow-up to it. So I don't know if I would engage in reading the follow-up. But if you're interested, you feel like you have the need to improve your networking, I would say you may want to give it a try. If you're looking for a lighter read when it comes to networking, and something that I think will be just as effective, I would read the Stacey Abrams book, Leading from the Outside. It used to be called The Minority Leader, and I guess they changed the title for some reason, but it was a great book. So the highest leverage action step that you could take with this book is to really get it from the library or download it from Audible if you already have the subscription, and attempt one of his recommendations and see how it works for you. Think of networking not as what can you get out of it, but what can you give into it and the relationships that you build from there. Thank you for listening. I hope that you find this review helpful. As you can tell, I have struggled with it. I'm happy I got through to it. Hopefully you won't have the same struggle. So Never Eat Alone, Keith Ferrazzi. I can't wait to speak to you next week. Have a good one. And remember, stay in the black. Welcome to Staying in the Black, a show about teachers and money. I'm Miss Black, a New York City educator, single mom, and personal finance translator. Join me as I build my runway to retirement. Each week, we'll share actionable steps, resources, and inspiration that educators can use to maximize their benefits and improve their personal finances. Staying in the black means having more assets than liabilities and being able to pay off your debt without any problems. Stop living paycheck to paycheck and build a joyful life. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us this week at Staying in the Black. Subscribe to make sure you never miss a show and visit our website at stayingintheblk.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at stayingintheblk. If you like the show, please tell a friend and leave a review in iTunes so that we can continue to bring you amazing episodes. Thank you for listening. See you next week, Gwen.